I can be exactly who I am, and that's how it's supposed to be. I like that when you liberate yourself, it automatically helps liberate other people.
Welcome to Someone Like You, a podcast that highlights the experiences of women, immigrants, and people of color who are building empires, creating amazing things, and changing the world. Here, we celebrate underrepresented stories and unheard voices. On this episode, we talk with my friend and colleague, Lyric Everly. Lyric is a multidisciplinary creative, mentor, and founder and CEO of Everly Agency, a full-service creative agency for visionary entrepreneurs. We talk about creativity, conquering fear and limiting self-beliefs, liberating yourself, and living in the land of possibilities.
Starting, you know, way back when, you grew up in Portland, Oregon. Did you always know that you wanted to be a creative of some kind?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it was explicit that I wanted to be a creative as a career, but I was always drawn to creative things. So the background is that I was born in Portland, but I grew up on like a little farm outside of Portland, like 45 minutes outside of Portland in a little town called Sandy. Okay. And at the very end of a dirt road. And I grew up between the like the forest and the river there.
Okay.
So I was always out there exploring. I was a homeschooled kid. And so I was always home and very, very religious. I grew up super religious as a Seventh-day Adventist. But being home and being able to be out in nature all the time, I think really honed those creative mindsets that we have.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, you know, I go out into the woods and like dream up little adventures out there and like find my little fairy lands and whatever else. When I was five, I started making up songs. And like at the time, I wasn't like even thinking like, oh, I'm a songwriter. It was just like one of those natural things. And so I remember getting like a Rainbow Bright tape player, my buddy from Christmas and my birthday. And I would go and like lock myself in the bathroom and make up songs. So I guess all that to say, like music was my first love. And that was probably like the first creative field that I really dived into. I started performing and like taking piano lessons and all that stuff when I was five as well.
Okay. Wow. Way back when. Were your parents creative or musical?
Yeah. So my parents both had musical talent. Like my dad, he played some random instrument all the way through college, oboe or something like that. And then my mom had a beautiful voice, but neither of them ever really pursued anything in music as a career. Okay. However, they were like the opposite of most parents because they're both college educated. But for me, they were like pushing me into the creative arts.
Wow.
So my dad was like, don't go to college. Just find something that you really love to do and you're passionate about. And he became like a big time stage parent at one point when I started as a teenager. He really wanted me to find something I was passionate about and loved. And he said, you'll never be more appreciated in any career than this.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. So you've also told me a few stories about your father's entrepreneurship. Yeah. How did that influence you throughout your upbringing?
Oh, big time. Like, once again, I don't know that I was aware of it at the time, but like, that's what I grew up around. I grew up around a lifetime entrepreneur who was working around the clock and had his home office, and I would go and help him out. He would pay me like 10 cents a sheet to highlight papers and materials. And just watching him like chase after things and dream up ideas and then bring them to life, that is 100% influenced everything that I've done for a career later on in life.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally see that. And growing up, did you ever have any awareness of like your womanhood or, you know, being a girl and having any limitations around that? Like, did you have any of that perception that the world or society kind of imposes on us?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I think because my dad like really spoke a lot of empowerment into me growing up, I don't know that I was aware of those limitations for a long time, probably until adulthood. So yeah. I never felt like I was held back because I was a girl or a woman. In fact, I think that like I've probably used that to my advantage.
Okay.
You know, like you and I have had conversations where like sometimes it's difficult to be a woman in business because boundaries are crossed. And like, you know, we've dealt with some sexual harassment things already.
Yeah.
But I also think that there's like a certain quality about being a woman in business that's very appealing to people.
Yeah, sure.
I think that we can definitely use that to our advantage. Not in like any sort of weird way, but like we all have that fire and that hustle and that drive in us as women naturally.
Yeah.
That we get to pair with that.
I love that. So tell me about your pursuit of music, from childhood into adulthood.
Okay. Yeah. So I mentioned I started performing, when I was 5 years old. And it was going to church, and we always had something called special music at church where like somebody would get up and perform a special song every week. Mm-hmm. And I remember this little girl that was probably like 8 years old came and performed a song at church. And I went to my mom afterwards and I was like, I have to do this. This is it. And so like I begged her and begged her, and like it was Mother's Day when I was 5 years old that I got up and sang my first solo at church, and I was hooked. Like it was such a natural thing. I just loved it. And so, luckily my parents were so supportive of that. And so put me into piano lessons, started writing. And it's just been like the best creative outlet of my entire life. Ugh.
So to this day, what role does music have in your life now that you have many other creative pursuits?
Yeah. Yes. It is still like the ultimate therapy for me. Mm. Music, like sitting down at the piano, writing a song, or is what it feels like is letting a song come through me. Mm. It's like the best thing in life to me. It's like the ultimate creative expression.
That's amazing. So how did you get from that being your primary creative outlet to the design and branding powerhouse that I know today?
Well, I don't know. It's like, I guess maybe, that's a great question, Liz. I don't know. I think that never really got anywhere as far as making money with music. I don't know that that was ever like the desired outcome for it. Mm-hmm. More of like the expression for me that made the most impact for music. But then, you know, as a creative, I started exploring other realms of creativity, because I think that once you start getting really good at one thing that's creative, it tends to feed other things. So it makes other creative pursuits easier once you start getting excellent at something. And so as a teenager, I started like doing hand-drawn typography, and I took an interest in design. Actually, you know what? I just realized what the crossover was. When I was recording music as a teenager, I started doing my own covers, like my own cover art.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's exactly where the transition happened. So as a teenager, I started doing like design work for myself. And then early 20s got the Adobe Creative Suite. I remember it was like $2,000 at the time. It was a big deal.
Yeah.
and started playing with that. And then over the next few years, just, you know, started pursuing actual professional work in design. I didn't go to college for it. It was just like a passion thing that I fell into. And then I started realizing how much it served people, and decided to pursue it as an actual career.
I love that. That's such a cool way to fall into it. So what prompted you to start your first agency?
So I was actually living in Austin, Texas, with my ex-husband. We got married super young. And so we were in our early 20s, and he was pursuing creative things as well. And so, you know, it was just kind of a natural thing that we fell into. Like he was working for an agency down in Austin, and ended up picking up some of his own clients and then transitioned into it. And a few months later, I came and joined him. And okay. So we ended up running our agency called Branding Parlor down in Austin, Texas for 5 years together.
And what was that experience like?
It was cool. Like anybody who has worked with a significant other knows that there are some significant challenges. And especially as entrepreneurs, like it's hard to like shut it off at night and like actually just be like a couple together.
Yeah.
However, I also think that couples who pursue things together get additional benefits. Like I think that it's more meaningful when you accomplish things. I think that you both bring like extra fire to projects because you want it to succeed so bad for each other and for yourselves. Mm-hmm. And so it was a lot of fun along with being challenging. And we create a lot of stuff down there together, which is fun to look back on.
That's awesome. So is after that experience, is that how you ended up in LA?
Yeah. So I briefly lived in Nashville after Austin, not for very long, like maybe a year, year and a half. And at that point I got a divorce, and that's when I moved to LA. So I was in Nashville, not really loving it too much, and going through this emotional situation. And so I decided that I was going to look at job opportunities in both New York and LA. Mm-hmm. And I only got calls from LA, and I flew out here, and I interviewed for this job on Abbot Kinney in Venice.
Ooh, yeah.
Little agency, and they called me 20 minutes later and offered me the position. And those people are the people I just finished quarantining with.
Some good people right there.
Yeah, they became like family. And I mean, that was 9 years ago.
Oh, yeah. So it's been a while. Mm. So does Southern California feel like home to you?
It does. Like, it was interesting because I'd lived in three states previously. So I lived Portland, Oregon, Austin, Texas, Nashville, Tennessee. And when I got to LA, I was like, oh, these are my people.
I love that. That's how I feel.
Like the mindset and the lifestyle out here, it finally clicked, or it felt like it clicked at that point.
That's great. That's so cool. So now you've launched your own agency, the first time you've had your name on the agency, Everly Agency. Tell me about this. What does this mean to you? What's your vision?
Yeah. So that was a big deal. I think that the key to putting my name on it was really taking ownership. Mm-hmm. So taking ownership of like what I stand for, what I wanted to create, how I wanted to serve. And so forming Everly Agency was a step in that direction and on a lot of levels. So, you know, I'd spent the last 5 years in creative leadership still. Mm-hmm. The agency that I had first been hired at in LA, they had actually asked me to take over their agency.
Oh, okay.
Years ago. And that didn't end up being the right opportunity. I was their acting CEO for a few months and ended up moving on from that. And then I ended up, you know, as you know, starting Thriver and was the CEO of that company for about a year and a half. And then it was just time. Like, it was the natural progression for me to like boss up.
Yeah.
At my own thing.
So talk to me about it. What's it like, for those who don't know, to be an agency owner?
It's beautiful and challenging, which is the two things I'm drawn to most in life.
I love that.
So I'm so in love with our team and the work we get to do. Like, everybody in our circle is so passionate, yourself included. So talented. And I love to be the person who gets to promote that kind of talent and provide opportunities to that kind of talent. Mm-hmm. We get to support some really incredible companies, brands, people who are in pursuit of great things. So like, that's all falling in line with what I love in life. That's like purpose-driven work. The challenging portion, there are many things. You know, as you start to grow and take on more and more clients, deadlines are very challenging. Mm-hmm. Lots of moving pieces. Dealing with a lot of personalities, financial things, all the stuff that, you know, comes along with business ownership is definitely there. But at the end of the day, like, I know that I'm choosing this and this is something that I have taken ownership of. And so it somehow balances out, you know, and the challenge.
So what is your big dream, big vision for the agency going forward?
That's a great question as well, Liz. So I think that it changes and probably will continue to change. There are times when I want to stay as a boutique agency so that we can be very, very high touch with everything. Mm-hmm. And there are times when I want to keep growing, because why not see how far we can go with it?
Right.
Why not see how many people we can touch and serve and help? So I don't have a great answer for that at this point, but I think that it will continue to evolve and it'll happen naturally.
Yeah, sure. So you mentioned, how you love to provide opportunities for all of these creatives on your team. And I would say you're definitely a connector of really awesome people. Have you always been that way? Is that something that just comes naturally to you?
So I think so. Like, I am definitely an extrovert by nature. I love people and I love creativity. So like, those intersections, really my perfect role, I think.
Sure. And how do you navigate that as like the hands-on creative versus the people person, the connector, client facing with your team? And I know we've talked about this, so may not be the easiest thing to navigate.
For sure. I would say not always gracefully. but the attempt is always there to handle it gracefully, of course. So I don't know. I feel like this point in my career, like, having the background of being a really hands-on creative is super helpful, but also having that drive and that interest in business is super helpful. Mm-hmm. So being able to flow back and forth between it is important. Making sure that I'm being water in the role, and then having the right people to support you.
Sure. Yeah, that's huge. Mm-hmm. So you touched a little bit on your experiences as a woman in business and some of the challenges. Do you have any advice or guidance on how you have navigated those challenges in your career?
Specifically as a woman, I think that any sort of leadership role requires you to go with your intuition, mm-hmm. and really strong on your core values. We've talked about this a lot of times, how core values are everything to me. Yep. So I think that when these situations arise with men, sometimes other women, that, you know, maybe they talk down to you or they say inappropriate things to you, making sure that you stand strong in your value system will keep you grounded in every situation.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up, because you're definitely one of the most high integrity, value driven people that I know. So would you share what some of your core values are?
Yeah. I think showing up. So consistency is probably a huge core value for me. Continuing to show up even when it's challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Contribution. So acts of service and living a life of service is really big for me. Also, side note, I love that you and I met through service work.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So for everyone listening, Liz and I met through volunteering for a nonprofit called the Youth Business Alliance. And as soon as I heard her speak for the first time, I'm like, that one.
Sometimes you just know.
I just loved you instantly. And I think that you have like that really heart-centered creativity, which I'm very, very drawn to.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one of them. Contribution, doing acts of service. Positivity is big for me. I think that showing up with a positive attitude and a positive mindset can change the state of any situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then shining a light on other people. So there are a lot of really incredible people doing incredible things in the world. And one of my core values has become that I'm going to shine as much positive, bright light on those people as we possibly can.
That's so amazing. And you definitely do that. I can speak from experience. So you mentioned service and that we met through a nonprofit. And I know that you are incredibly passionate about working with nonprofits. You're super generous with your time, energy, all of the above. Has that always been a value for you or something that had a role in your life?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I love volunteer work. It's so good for the spirit. And serving the world is just like the best possible thing you can do with your time, I think. And it did start young for me. So my mom was into volunteer work when I was growing up. And so she would always take me with her to volunteer opportunities. And I remember like even things like taking food to people that were sick. Like people in our church that were sick, she would take me along for that and spending time with them, listening to their stories and things like that. And so it just became something that felt really natural to me as I went into adulthood, that I was always seeking out opportunities to serve and to give back to the community and to love on people that were hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've carried that forward, and it's something that I really want to bring out through the agency as well, like making that a value system that we promote in business.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're definitely already doing that, working with lots of amazing organizations and helping them grow.
Yeah, we're both doing it.
So how, with all of this going on in your life, how do you stay inspired? What keeps you going?
The people that we work with, you, continuously feeding myself with goodness. Like that's really important to me. I remember reading a quote several years ago that said, I might butcher this, but is something to the effect of, if you consistently seek out beautiful things in people and in the world, you will eventually become it.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I really took that to heart. And so like, I'm constantly feeding myself with good things. Like I don't sit down and watch horror movies, for instance.
Yeah.
I'll sit down and watch a documentary about something that's super inspiring.
Right.
And so like making sure that I'm taking in, you know, good stories, good people, healthy food, like all of those things keep me in the mindset to stay inspired.
That's so cool because all of those things are so important and can easily be overlooked. You know, we let things in and consume things on all different levels that are, can be so counterproductive to what we actually want to achieve.
100%.
So do you have any other little keys to success in your own life or your practice that you apply?
So I think that one of the things that I really started putting into practice over the last couple of years that has been a game changer has been stepping towards fears. So a lot of times, you know, those little limiting beliefs will pop up. Those fears will pop up when you have an idea about something that you want to do. And it's easy to talk yourself out of doing it. But I've learned to start actually stepping towards those things instead. So if I have an idea for something and it scares me, I'm like, okay, this is something that I need to move towards instead of away from it.
I love that because one, I have had to put that into practice in my own life. But I was going to ask, we talk every day, of all the conversations we've had, I have never once heard you talk about fear. Mm-hmm. So how do you navigate like that? Is it just like your mental self-talk? Do you feel it and just work through it? You know, what's your process for coping with fear?
I would say it's some of both. So, I definitely have limiting beliefs that pop up and fears that pop up, but I have gotten really, really dedicated, I guess, to, talking myself through them. So, there's actually this thing that I realized that I've started doing over the last couple of years that I think has helped. And it's where if a negative thought about myself or a situation pops into my head, I'm like, it's going to sound silly, but I'll say, go fuck yourself. I'm like,
I love that.
And just like making sure that it goes away. Like,
yeah,
not allowed in my head.
Wow, that's so cool. Did you come by these kind of mental tactics that I would say like a lot of coaches apply or teach people about? Did you come by this naturally just as you've grown throughout your life? Have there been particular people who've helped you put these into place?
Yeah, so definitely some trial and error myself, like bringing yourself into awareness of like why you're doing certain things or reacting certain ways. Awareness really helps with that, like examining things that you're doing naturally.
Sure.
Then also, probably 3 or 4 years ago, I went through this course called MITT.
Okay.
And Mastery and Transformational Training. And it's very similar to like Landmark Forums. And it's basically deep dive personal development work. Mm. And that was a big deal to me because they take you through these really emotional, difficult situations and, really point out what's not working for you. And it's done for the purpose of helping you grow and get better. Very challenging in the process. But I've taken a lot of the things that I learned there and really applied them in life, and it works.
Wow. Do you see like a clear delineation like before that experience and after in your life?
For sure. Yeah. That's when I stopped really talking myself out of things.
Wow.
Going through that, doing that work and then coming out of it and like realizing like, why am I doing this? Like, why do I talk myself out of things? Why do I like, you know, go with the side of things that I don't want as an outcome?
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, that's actually, I'll give you an example, like recently buying this house, like I bought a house And I did it solo for the first time in my life. And it was one of those things where we were had just gone into quarantine, and I was trying to figure out where I wanted to go next because my lease was coming up. And I started being like, oh, I wonder if I could buy a house. That would be really cool if I could like make that my next chapter. And immediately started being like, oh, well, you've only purchased houses with partners before. You won't get approved as an entrepreneur, being self-employed or whatever else it is. But then I was like, nope, that's the moment when I'm like, okay, I'm actually going to look into this and try to fight for it. Because I was having the limiting beliefs. And wow. So one of those moments where I just stepped towards it. And as it started unfolding, I was like, oh, I think this is actually going to work, which is amazing. And like, when you start doing that, that will happen so many places in your life.
That's so amazing. Oh, I love it. You're really speaking to me today. So I want to come back to your new property, but you say something all the time, which I just love. It really resonates with me. That you like to live in the land of possibility. And, you know, hearing this kind of journey of your life, that seems so true, that there really aren't limitations or boxes, and you really dive into your creative pursuits for the experience or the adventure. Mm-hmm. Does that ring true? And how did you develop this mindset, or is that just who you are?
Yeah, that 100% rings true. Living in the land of possibilities is that phrase that I came up with, because it's what we do as creatives, like, and especially as creatives who work in the branding space. We're constantly talking to people about their visions, and then we get to expand upon them and like really help them see what the possibilities are. Mm-hmm. And it's a fun space to live and work in. Because sky's the limit. Like, there's so many directions that you can take most pursuits in, and so many creative and cool things to do in the world.
Right. Yeah. And does that naturally come when it comes to your own life to apply that to yourself, or is that a different process?
It's been a process for me to get there, and like now it feels natural. So I think that doing that personal development work was part of that, being like, oh, we can do whatever we want to in the world, you know, making sure, of course, that you're like staying within your moral boundaries and, you know, being true to your inner guidance system and all those things. But other than that, like, do what you want to.
Right. Do you feel that challenge of like societal expectations or pressures? Or do you feel like you've kind of broken through those things?
Yeah, not anymore. Like, I feel like at some level, I've definitely liberated myself from a lot of that. Mm-hmm. A lot of those feelings of like, you know, oh, what are people going to think if I do this? Nah. Like, do you know how many people respond to me when I do something that is a moment of liberation?
Yeah.
Oh man, I wish that I had the balls to do that. Like, yeah. And it's interesting because like when I say liberation, like, of course it's in like business pursuits and creative pursuits and life pursuits, but like, to a certain extent, like with my social media presence, like it's in an open liberation as a woman as well. And, you know,
I was going to ask you about that.
So, you know, I'll post some pictures that could be considered questionable, by some, but it's so funny the responses I get from those. It's usually women.
Yeah. It seems like you, are very unapologetic about your womanhood, your sensuality, your sexuality, and just look, this is part of me. This is who I am. And you're not afraid to share that.
Yeah. I think it's a really interesting realization to come through life. And this may be part of me getting older, but to just be like, I can be exactly who I am. And that's how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm.
And you feel like the response does the response matter to you?
No, I think, well, I think that I'm not doing it for the response. I'm doing it for myself and my own expression of self. But I like that when you liberate yourself, it automatically helps liberate other people.
Yeah, that's amazing. I totally see that. Okay, so now coming back to your latest big adventure, you're out there in the desert in your new home. What's you know, prompted that decision for this new chapter, and what is your vision for it?
Thank you for asking. So I mentioned earlier that I started looking into buying a home. Mm-hmm. And we had gone into quarantine. And when I started shopping around, I was like looking at like little condos in LA. And I was like, is that what I want? And so I started thinking about what I would actually like in life, what I actually wanted. And I grew up in the country. And I grew up on a property. And so I was like, I wonder if I could find something that was like a little bit outside of LA that I could actually have some space and build some things on. And so I started hunting around and I was like, okay, so there are a few different places in Southern California that I've been really drawn to. Let me look there. And so one of them was Joshua Tree. Mm-hmm. It's been a place for me that has been tremendously healing, tremendously beautiful. And I've had a lot of really special moments out here. One being, I came out here at midnight one night with a group of friends and we watched a meteor shower in the desert. And we saw like 30 shooting stars that night. And it was like one of the most real life magical experiences I think I've ever had. So I started looking for property out here near Joshua Tree, and I found this little house, and it had been completely redone, and it was on acreage, and it was checking all the boxes. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I can turn this into an Airbnb property. And so thinking about one, diversifying income, like as a business person, like that's, you know, a consideration for sure. But two, like creating this beautiful space for people to come to and heal and rejuvenate and create sounded so appealing to me. So I ended up purchasing this place and I moved out here. The plan is to move out here for probably the next year, I would imagine, and work on the property and, you know, create all the nice little touches on it, you know, some outdoor water situation and probably one of those aerial silks apparatus here, because I love doing that stuff, and just making it kind of a playland for people to come and rejuvenate and create.
That's so cool. And it just seems very true to you and on brand as a collector, gatherer of cool people that have lots of great things to contribute, that you would have a physical space to do that.
Gosh, yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned your aerial silks, which is just such a cool thing that I can't not bring it up because you don't often meet aerialists. Yeah. So how did you get into that and how does it feel when you're doing it?
Oh, thank you for asking. I love it so much. So it was probably, I don't know, 4 years ago that I had met a music producer and his name was Stu Brawley. And he's worked with like Celine Dion and Brandy and Don Henley and a whole bunch of really awesome people. And he started dating this beautiful woman, Lisa Marie. And I noticed that she was posting videos of herself doing aerial routines. And then she had opened it up to start taking students. And I was like, oh, this looks like fun. It looks feminine and girly. But also like, she looks so strong doing it. Yeah. So all of that was very appealing. So I went and tried it out. It was just hooked instantly. Like, I wanted to find some sort of workout routine that was, you know, fun. Mm-hmm. And something I would want to do regularly, But also it was important to me, that it kept my body feminine.
Yeah.
Cause like, I really love strong women, but I didn't want to be bulky personally. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things that she brought up to me, is that the routines themselves really lend itself well to that. So it just ended up being a perfect fit. And, you had asked about how it feels. It feels like flying to me. Like,
cool.
It feels, once again, so liberating to be up there and, you know, do drops and swings and all these different moves. And it really feels like the closest thing I've experienced to flying.
That is just so cool. I love it. And, you know, it's just one example of, I think, a good representation of you. You have this creative expression. You have a little bit of the fearlessness. You have the strength and the femininity all coming together.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
So cool. All right. This has been so amazing. We are going to finish off with a little lightning round. So I'm going to ask 5 questions and just the first thing that comes to your head.
Okay, great. Okay.
What scares you?
Not going for things.
Okay. What are you most proud of?
The way I can bring heart to any situation.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. When are you at your best?
When I'm serving other people.
How do you define success?
Doing things that make the world a better place.
And how do you want to be remembered?
For the way I love.
If you enjoyed this episode, stay tuned for more to come, or visit LizMarieStrategy.com for more resources, stories, and insights for creatives and entrepreneurs.